Hello, Reedaview. I have such incredible memories of you guys, and let me just put it biblically. I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ from Philippians. I love you, and this is such a treat. I live in California. That's an awful long way away from Ottawa, Canada, but through video, it feels at least a tiny little bit like I can be there with you just for a moment. I can picture so many faces, and I won't say them out loud, but there's so many of you that I love, and this is a treat. So thank you. The Lord put this message on my heart, some time ago, and I know in the presence of God that given this opportunity, that this is the message that God would have me share today. So, Lord bless you. Lord help us all on in his biblical way for his glory. A number of weeks back, I woke up on a Saturday morning and I don't know that I was discouraged, but I remember saying to the Lord, I don't see any omnipotent power in my life. And I remember questioning that in the presence of God. I long to see God's power unleashed in my life and unleashed amongst the people of God and unleashed in North America. In fact, if I got to the end of my life and you could explain my life based on human ability, I would weep for sorrow and consider it a horrible failure. I only want to live. I hunger and I ache for a life that can only be explained by the glory and majesty of God. And so I was saying this to the Lord, like, I don't see omnipotent power in my life. And then the Lord did something that was so neat. He sent me to the Word of God. And over the next maybe 4 or 5 hours, I don't remember, I looked up every occurrence of the word power in the New Testament. And I started to record them in a notebook. And then I started to look at the context of each one. And then I started to categorize them. And out of that just joyful little, you could call it a counseling session with the Lord, you could call it a teaching session, like in John, in the upper room ministry, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, whatever you want to call it. It was a beautiful time of sitting with the Lord, with the Lord's help, with my Bible. And by the end of it, I was overwhelmingly encouraged. I was built up. And that really is the heart of, now we're only going to talk about just one piece of what I discovered, but that's the heart of where this came from today. And that's my real prayer for every one of us, is that we will be massively, really omnipotently encouraged and built up today. So to that end, let's bow in prayer and then we'll jump right in. Lord, you can see every person that is seated watching this video. I'm imagining them watching at all different times. I pray that the spirit of power and the spirit of infinite wisdom would perfectly orchestrate events of people's lives and timing so that your word meets them at just the right time. Lord, I pray that the same effect that that the word of God had in my life, that it would have in other people's lives today as well. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for the way that the truth of God strengthens us and fortifies us and encourages us. Just thank you. Your ministry, your willingness and eagerness to provide what we need to help us to keep going for you, it is such a gift of God. So we pray that you would calm our minds. We pray that you would calm our hearts. We pray that you would have your way through your word. And we just lay all of this at your feet. For Christ's glory alone, we pray. In his name, amen. So the title of this message would be, if you're jotting down a title, it would be Being Built Up. We're going to look at three primary passages. Look first, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 3 in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 3, and that's where we'll start. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 for context. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. I love that that's in there. This is not just for some elite category of saints or really dedicated saints. That may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So point number one in our outline for today is intimacy. Again, I was seated on that Saturday and I was saying to the Lord, I don't see omnipotent power in my life. That drove me to the Word of God, looking, well, how does God reveal his power in the New Testament? And again, this is a big subject, and we're only going to look at three ways this morning that I trust the Lord will really use to minister to our hearts and minds and our lives. But this is number one, for sure. It says strengthened with might, right? That's the idea of power. And then it also says according to his glorious power that works in us, verse number 20. So you can see this is a way that the power of God is unleashed in the life of a believer. And namely, it is intimacy. So I want you to see this, and I'm praying that this will so be driven into your life by the Spirit of God that men and women, boys and girls, will be radically changed. I spoke this week with a young guy, well, he's younger than me, and he's been radically changed in the past 6 months. Now he's saying things like, this is a dedicated servant of God, and yet he's saying things like, I feel like I read a whole new Bible now. He'll say things like, I feel like I was born again, because he can't explain the love relationship and the vibrancy and the spiritual eyes that he has now. It's like reading scripture through a different lens, right? And it's something that God does in the life of a believer that produces intimacy. So again, notice intimacy in the text. Strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is intimacy. That is not like ask Jesus into your heart, as some people use that phrase, like get saved, be born again. That is intimacy. It's referring to intimacy. And then it says down just a little bit lower, it says to know the love of Christ, right? The inexhaustible love of Christ that is described in verse 18 and verse number 19. So that would be essential to notice. And then I want you to notice so many wonderful, encouraging sub-points here. Namely, this is something that God does. Now, please notice it in the text. The Apostle Paul is bowing his knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's asking God to grant the Ephesian Christians to be strengthened with might in the inner man, according to his glorious power that works in us, to be strengthened. He's asking for an act of God in the life of the Christians that will produce, namely, just taking it straight out of the text, knowing the love of Christ and Christ feeling at home in your heart, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. It's not the presence of Christ in your life. It's fellowship, communion. It's that he's at home in every realm of your life. You're not holding anything back. And so this is so essential. First thing to notice, I mean, this is all of point number one, intimacy, right? The power of God unleashed in a believer's life produces a soul-thrilling, life-shaking, desperately needed intimacy. And then if you start with subpoints, right? This is something that God does, right? You can see it right here in the text. It's something that Paul is praying for. So that would be another important point. We can pray for this. And then it's something that God does. Oh. You find invitations all over the Word of God for this, like Isaiah 55. Ho, right, everyone who thirsts, come. He invites everybody, and that's just like the Lord. He invites any who will come. That's a beautiful text, Isaiah 55. Psalm 81, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I would have fed them with the finest of wheat. With honeycomb from the rock, I would have satisfied them. And then he's so sad, but my people would have none of me. My people would not listen, right? He's always been a God that invites you to everything. Simply put, you hit the lottery. We hit the lottery when we came to know Christ. And yet so many Christians, most Christians really, this is a plague of Western Christianity, the Western church. We're satisfied living on 35 grand a year spiritually when you hit the $6 billion lottery when you came to know Christ. In other words, there's so much more. And it's right there in the text. There's so much more. Paul is praying for it. It's something that God does. It's all so clearly right there. It's something that God can do. Notice in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I am shocked that there's any pushback in the North American church on this concept. I am utterly shocked that this is not so clear that we are all 100% completely on the same page. I'm blown away by that. But I want you to notice in the text that this verse that we use all the time, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, there's so many good applications for that verse. But what is the immediate context of the verse? Intimacy. A God that is able to produce soul-thrilling love relationship, mind-blowing love relationship between himself and his people. That's what Paul is praying for. And then this verse that we all quote and that we rightfully, that we use to apply to so many things in its most immediate biblical context, it's the ability of God to produce intimacy, a desperately needed intimacy between the Lord and himself. And then I want you to notice one more thing in the text, verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What is this love relationship supposed to produce? And again, I'm not being creative, like just exactly what the text says. What does it say? It's supposed to be for the glory of God. Again, I'm shocked that there's any pushback on this concept in the church, that not everybody recognizes this truth. It's amazing to me. Why are you saved? Love relationship. Romans 1 through 8, right? 1 through 5:12. Why must a person be saved? Because of the wrath of God. 5:12 through the end of chapter 8. Why must a person be saved? Because of the miserable destruction of sin. How does it all culminate, right? The whole argument of Romans 1 through 8, how does it all culminate? With three little statements that all emphasize the love of God in Christ Jesus. What is the point of you being saved? Eternal relationship with God. Eternal love relationship with God. And this is eternal life, that they may know him. And then here, right? To know the love of Christ. God is love. This is amazing. Right? So soul-thrilling intimacy. So I want to ask you a couple questions, and I'll trust the Lord to use his word, and I'll trust the Spirit of God to apply this to hearts and minds. Question number one, this is what I would like every one of us to ask before God, am I yielded and still in his presence as a regular habit of life? Am I yielded and still? Now, let me explain why I'm asking that. Here in this text, we've already noticed that intimacy is something that the power of God produces. When it's unleashed in a person's life, It snaps them into this soul-thrilling, intimate love relationship with God. It's what Paul's praying for. So it's something that God does, and yet we have to cooperate. I gave you a couple examples, like Isaiah 55, this invitation to abundant life. Not everybody took God up on his offer. Some did, but not everybody. Psalm 81, right? He says right there in the text, right? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And then lamenting, he says, I would have satisfied them. I would have fed them with the finest of wheat, with honey from the honey, from honey out of the rock. I would have satisfied them. It's all right there. So am I cooperating with God? And that leads me right into question number two. Please, my brothers and sisters, ask yourself in the presence of God this question. And it's this. Am I asking in faith? Colossians 2, 6, and 7 makes it very clear that the same way a person gets into the Christian life, they continue on in the Christian life. As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And so we get into the Christian life by grace through faith. We carry on in the Christian life by grace through faith. And I'm asking us, every one of us, to ask the Lord for what this text describes. You can just quote it, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, intimacy, to know the love of Christ, intimacy. If you need any encouragement in this journey, then just hold on to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we could ask or think, in the context of intimacy and love relationship. This is so soul-thrilling, and this is so desperately needed in the North American church. What is the biblical end of this newfound love relationship with God? The glory of Christ Jesus in the church. I think many of us have looked to, and I should say carefully, I should say rightfully, looked to proper form in the church for the glory of God. And I'm 100% on board with that, 100%. I have not changed my ecclesiology one iota. But without this, New Testament truth without New Testament life robs Christ of glory. This is so desperately needed. So again, question one, am I yielded and still in His presence as a regular habit of my life? Hopefully, well, really, it must be daily. If it's 5 minutes on a certain day because it has to be, okay, right? As long as it's 5 hours on a certain day when it has to be. Am I yielded and still in His presence as a regular habit of my life? And then number two, am I asking in faith? When we read something in the Word of God, we can respond to that in faith. And we can pray, we can ask in faith, in response to the written Word of God, for what God has. There's an elder that I deeply love and respect who wrote a couple weeks ago, and he specifically asked me to pray for him, basically for this. I'm so excited for how the Lord's going to work in that guy's life, because it's biblical. Yeah. If we ask, this is the confidence that we have. Right, 1 John, this is the confidence that we have toward Him. If we ask anything in His will, we know that we have what we ask. It's right there in the Word of God. Are we asking in faith? Okay, let's move on. Point number two. Go a couple pages to the right in your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We looked at the first way that the power of God is unleashed in our lives, and that produces intimacy. And this, we're going to move on now to the second way that we're going to look at this morning, that the power of God is unleashed in our lives. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. This is beautiful. Colossians 1 verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Man, I don't know if my title is really sufficient, but if you're taking notes, you could jot down the title, Knowledge and Patience. Really, I don't think that that's sufficient, but I mean, you can't just quote the whole passage, right? So I just wrote down for point number two, knowledge and patience. What does the power of God unleashed in a believer's life produce? Knowledge and patience. Again, look at the text. He says that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So I'm so happy to say this. It's been quite a number of years that the Lord has been emphasizing intimacy and love relationship. And that's why I started in Ephesians chapter 3, because that those truths have been pretty well established amongst the people of God in North America. So I wanted to start there. And then I love that it doesn't end there. It's not that love relationship is the only evidence of the power of God being unleashed in a believer's life. I love this, right? That you may know or be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I love that. And it produces a proper walk, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, fruitful in every good work. I mean, it's so beautiful, right? But I just love that. Knowledge of his will, wisdom, spiritual understanding. Out here in California, we meet every day to pray and as a team, and it's a delight. We really seek by grace to emphasize abiding, right? The truths of John 15, 1 through 16, keeping yourself in the love of God from Jude. We see Luke 3 and 4 that the Lord Jesus was baptized by the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, came in the power of the Spirit. We see John 5, where the Lord Jesus said he accomplished his ministry through intimacy with the Father. So you combine those passages, intimacy with the Father, empowerment of the Spirit. Like, we see that. And so we seek by grace alone, with God's help, to live that out. And it's a delight. It's an utter delight. Just to give you a couple examples, we had a team member not long ago walking down the street on Main Street, and the Spirit of God showed him that he should go into a business owner's business and talk with him. And his testimony would be that he was fearful. If I remember correctly, he actually walked past the business, thinking, well, how do I really know if this is God leading me? And then if I'm remembering the story correctly, he walked past and then he thought, I can't not obey the Lord. And he went back into the business and kind of fearfully, treading lightly, he entered into a gospel conversation with this business owner, and right there, was used of God to lead him to Christ. It's amazing. I mean, I read about stories like that, like in Incidents in Gospel Work by Charles Stanley. That's a book I'd recommend to anybody. In fact, I think I recommended it in the first message. And yet to see that, to see the Lord not just able to use these guys in the past, but using people that we know in communities that we know, right, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And so you yield yourself. You live in intimacy, you live in a fullness that this passage describes, and then you're available, and he leads, right? Just like the Lord Jesus' life, Luke 3 and 4. He overcomes our fears, our inadequacies, our focus on self. He overcomes all of that, and he glorifies his name. Another team member not long ago with the Black Lives Matter movement, we had both a peaceful protest, which was just right across the street right here. But we 2 days before that, we had a violent protest scheduled for our community. And one team member knew in the presence of God that the Lord wanted them to go to the violent protest. Because this is very serious, you could lose your life. You have no idea what's going to happen in a scenario like that. People are actively cooperating together to plot evil, right? They're planning evil. They're planning violence because these things are very serious. This team member sat in the presence of God and asked the Lord to confirm it, to the point that the Lord confirmed it with two different scriptures, confirmed it to that team member's wife. And they knew in the presence of God this that they had to go. They literally had to go to the violent protest. And so this team member stood there with a sign, and it was the most beautiful thing. The Lord just totally calmed the crowd. He didn't allow any kind of violence to take place. And for 2 hours, this team member stood there with his sign, gave out gospel literature. I mean, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful way to represent Christ in the community. But it was this, right? Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I love that. It's evidence of the power of God unleashed in a person's life. That is so encouraging. Yes, so encouraging. And he goes on, he says, strengthened with all might, right? There's the power of God, according to his glorious power, for all patience, long suffering with joy. I have to say, well, no, I can't say this is my favorite because, I mean, intimacy is, how do you even compare it, right? They're all essential. Intimacy, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding. But this is just as essential. And I hope you'll see what I mean here in just a second. Patience, long-suffering, joy. This is evidence of the power of God being unleashed in a believer's life. Boy, I pray that the Spirit of God will use this in your life the same way that he uses it in my life pretty much daily. Patience, long-suffering, joy. When I first kind of discovered this, it was so encouraging. And then at a certain point, I asked the Lord, is this okay to share, right? Is this okay to share with people? Like, can I share my own struggles, my own weaknesses, my own neediness with people? And the Lord used a very specific scripture. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he says, we despaired even of life. And if you study that text out carefully, you come to a very simple conclusion that the Apostle Paul was confessing that he was beyond his own human ability to press on in his own strength. And I want to tell you that I experience this all the time. In fact, let me just say it very simply. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I would quit. I hate admitting that. My flesh does not want to admit that. I'm also afraid on a human level that other people might be discouraged. It's funny. It's a funny combination. I have never been more excited to follow God in all of my life than I am today. That is absolutely true. I've never been more encouraged by the heart of God, the mind of God, what I see the Lord accomplishing in North America. And I've never been more confident in his ability and in what he will do in this coming generation. All of that is resoundingly true. And yet there's a daily reality that if it weren't for Christ, I would quit. And if it weren't for Christ, I would not have the ability to go on. And I hope with God's help, I can make this clear. What I mean is, now, nothing would ever separate me. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I love that. So I can't lose him. But if it were possible, I could not go on. And what I mean is, I sit at his feet and I get filled up every morning. Right? That's the daily habit of my life. I get out of bed when he wakes me up. And then I sit at his feet and I'm filled up with peace. Right? Some days I have anxiety and I take that to him, right? I take him my burdens. I take him my racing mind. I take him those things. And then he replaces it with his truth and with his direction, with his instruction, with his reassurance. And I get filled up with the Word of God. every day. I get filled up with the Spirit of God every day. I get filled up with the love of God every day. I get filled up with the peace of God every day. And I'm just trying to communicate this, that I mean it very literally, very tangibly. If it somehow was not possible for me to get filled up with Him, I would not be able to go on. And when I read this text, this is something that God does, right? Strengthened with might according to His glorious power. It's something that we can seek, that we can pray for. It's an evidence of the power of God being unleashed in our lives. What does it produce? I mean, I love the first part, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding. But man, I equally love this part. What does it produce? Patience, waiting on unfulfilled desires, longings that are unmet right now. Patience, right? Long suffering. How long, O Lord? You'd quit if it weren't for Christ. But what does the power of God produce in the life of a believer that is allowing the power of God to produce it? Long suffering, right? He fills you with strength according to His glorious power that you can keep going, right? Daily, right? He keeps you going. I'm totally convinced in the presence of God that this is what some of you need to hear. Some of you have been in the fight for a very long time. Not everything in life is easy. Not everything in life is joyful. We don't understand everything. Right? What do we need? We need patience, long suffering, and joy. And so I want you to see, it's right there in the text. This is an evidence of the power of God being unleashed in the life of a believer. And so I have two questions again that I'll pray that the Spirit of God will use in all of our lives. Question number one, am I walking with God in such a way that I can know His heart? Am I walking with God in such a way that His patience becomes my patience, right? I'm allowing Him to pour into me. I look back at my own life 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I don't even now know how I lived my own life, honestly. Now, I couldn't live that way. I need His daily filling. I need Thee every hour. Every hour I need Thee. Man, I need Him every day. I can't survive without what this text is talking about. And so I'm longing for this. I'm praying for this for the people of God. And so I'm asking, am I walking with God in such a way that I know His heart? His heart of patience gets poured into me. His heart of long suffering and joy gets poured into me. His heart of, yes, His will, right? When does He want you to go left and go witness to this business owner? When does He want you to go at your own peril to the violent Black Lives Matter rally, protest? When does He want you to do that? Yes, all of that is evidence of the power of God being unleashed in the life of a believer. Question number two, am I allowing Him to strengthen me with patience, long suffering, and joy? I have no idea who all is going to listen to this, where in the world you are, what you're going through. No idea. But man, I pray to a God that does know that He will strengthen you with patience, long suffering, and joy for His purposes. Yeah, so point number two, knowledge and patience. This is evidence of the power of God at work in a believer's life. Okay, one more text. Go to Romans if you would. So this would be to the left in your Bibles, Romans chapter 15. And this time we just have one little verse, Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13. This would be point number three in the outline. And if you're taking notes, you can just jot down hope And I love this one too, right? They're all beautiful. They're all essential. I love this one, hope. Let's read it. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power, there's our word, power of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to notice several things. First of all, what is this God? What is this God that we're praying to? This is a beautiful title. He's the God of hope, the God of perfect confidence. One thing I pray for daily for the people of God, starting with me, literally, I have it in my prayer journal for daily prayer to grow my confidence in God. And then right under that, I have to grow for all the people of God, to grow our confidence in God. I pray that every single day for myself and for the people of God. And this verse is such a beautiful contribution to that, right? The God of hope. Is there any one of us that really honestly thinks that God is going to fail in our generation? Who would think that? Do we have any reason to question his heart? God desires that none should perish, but all come to repentance. Who desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who longs for the church and is so willing to move in power, like we're looking today, move in power to create a more biblical, pure, focused, radiant bride for the glory of his Son. Passionately in love with Christ, filled with the knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom and understanding, patience, long-suffering, joy, and hope. Oh, I love this. I mean, how beautiful is this? So he's a God of hope. And notice it says, fill you. It's something that God does with all joy and peace and believing. If you're jotting these things down, notice that the life filled with faith, the life that is characterized by eyes on Christ, right? Let us set our mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, right? That life that is focused on pilgrimage, Psalm 84, right? That life that is taken up with God, it is characterized by joy and peace. That's a really important biblical point. And let me tell you, please, my life actually more so, I don't know if this is because of my weakness or if it's because of the burdens that the Lord by grace allows me to be a part of. I don't know. But more so than ever before in my life can be characterized by anxiety. I need him. I need to lay my burdens at his feet. And I need him to give me peace in exchange for anxiety and burden. I need that all the time. So I don't want to pretend. I don't want to make believe in any way, right? But I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is your life characterized by joy and peace? The life that is focused on him is characterized by joy because he's sharing his mind with you, his heart with you. You're seeing his hand. You're filled with faith, joy, and peace. So I may wake up at 4 in the morning. I may wake up at 6 in the morning, right, on a given day. And very frequently, my mind would be characterized by burden at that point. And then when I get into his presence and I commune with God as a friend with a friend, I fellowship with God. Very normatively, he takes away my burden and he replaces it with his peace. He takes away my anxiety and he replaces it with his joy and with a calm heart. It is a beautiful, needed ministry. And so, yes, I'm asking, absolutely, and I'm declaring from the Word of God that the faith-filled life is characterized by joy and peace. But I'm saying that there's a daily pouring into that produces that. It's not like we grow to the point where we're on some glorious spiritual plateau, and therefore we never struggle with burdens or anxiety anymore. It's almost the opposite. You become more and more aware of your utter dependence upon him and your need to be poured into every day. In fact, every day, that's not even fair, right? I need the every hour, right? That's more fair. abide in the vine. It's the biblical idea is not, hey, you're an iPhone, make sure you charge up every day or you'll run out of battery. That is not the biblical concept. The biblical concept is abide in the vine. Constant connection, right? So I'm aware that I need him every day. But that statement, it betrays how immature I am. Eventually, I'll become more and more and more and more conscious of the fact that I need thee every hour. I need thee every moment, right? Oh, I love this. So yeah, peace and joy. It's yours for the taking. We find it from gazing at the Lord in glory. Let us therefore come boldly to a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, in the nick of time, right? This joy and peace is part of that grace. So he's a God of hope. The faith-filled life is characterized by joy and peace, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's something that God does. It's something that we can pray for. It's something that we need to cooperate with. And as we walk in intimacy with him, he shares his mind with us, his heart with us, and therefore we end up abounding in hope. Genesis 18 and 19, right? God meets with Abraham and he shares with Abraham his heart. How could I not tell my friend Abraham? Amos 3, the Lord God does nothing apart from telling his servants, the prophets. He shares his heart with people that walk intimately with him. John 15, right? Abide in the vine. No longer do I call you friends. A friend does not know what his master is doing. Right? It has to do with knowledge. He shares his mind with you. He shares his heart with you. He shows you what he's doing. And then because of that, you end up abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so is God working in North America? Yes. It's not trying to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. The next great work of God in North America has already begun. Do I know what that'll look like? No. That's about 1,000 steps above my pay grade. I don't need to know. I'm not trying to pray him into doing something like he did in Great Awakening 1 or the Businessmen's Revival or Great Awakening 2 or the revival in the Hebrides or the revival in Wales. That's foolishness to try to force him through prayer into repeating something he did in the past. But I know his heart. I know his mind. I know that he's the Lord of the harvest and he's going to act perfectly toward every desperately needy soul in North America. And his will is to use you and I, the church, to go out and implore people to be reconciled to God because he's pleading with people from the heavens to come to him. Like, we know all these things because we know his word. And then when we walk in intimacy with him, he shows us specifically what he wants us to see. John chapter 5, John 15. And we end up abounding in hope. Man, I want this for the people of God. I want this for the people of God. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would end up abounding in hope. Jesus Christ is very excited about the church. Does anybody disagree with that? I can't imagine anybody would ever disagree with that. He has no plan B. He's very excited about the church. He loves the lost with a passionate, dedicated love that you and I can barely fathom or enter into. He's the most zealous, friendly, compassionate, loving, soul-winning missionary that you and I would ever meet in our lives. He has won. He is winning. He will win. He will not fail nor be discouraged. He is a God of hope. And if we just let him, then by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will cause us to abound in hope. Not everything is joyful. We certainly don't have everything figured out. He's the heavenly diagnostician, not us. We desperately need him. There are days of discouragement, and he's so faithful to feed us under the broom tree and to minister to our hearts. That none of that changes. The fact that things are hard, that there's valleys of weeping, Psalm 84, None of that changes the fact that he is a God of hope, and he will fill us with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So I have two questions. Question number one, am I characterized by joy and peace because of a faith-filled, faith-characterized life? And then question number two, do I know the Lord well enough that I have his hope? Do I know the Lord well enough that his hope is flowing over into my life? So I'm barely scratching the surface here. Like, I have a folder at home that has four categories, and this is only one category, right? And we're not even exhausting that category. But I long for this for the people of God to see. This is evidence of the overflow of the power of God in the life of a believer, namely intimacy. I've seen the Lord change hundreds of Christians. I'm almost to the point of upping that number, but I'm trying to be conservative. I don't want to exaggerate. Exaggeration is lying. I've seen the Lord change at least hundreds and hundreds of Christians, right? Intimacy. Number two, knowledge of his will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, patience, long-suffering, joy. Number three, abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are glorious evidences of the overflow of the power of God. And let me just say personally that I went from unbiblical thinking that I didn't even recognize in the moment. Lord, I don't see evidence of the power of God in my life. And then the Lord directed me to the scriptures. I love this example. I love that that's how God works. He directed me to his word. And when I looked at his word, it brought incredible joy, right? I've never enjoyed the Lord more or walked with him more intimately. And I'm not anywhere near a final destination. Like I would say with Paul, not that I have attained, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Yet there's a reality that I'm happy to, for the glory of God, to confess that I didn't even know you could enjoy the Lord Jesus this side of eternity this much. I really didn't know that you could live in such a soul-thrilling, daily love relationship with God. It literally blows my mind every day that I have a real relationship with such an amazing being, God. So overflow of the power of God, intimacy, joy, patience, long-suffering, wisdom, spiritual understanding, knowledge of his will, hope. Yeah, I really hope that this will give us much to pray about, much to seek God for and believe God for, much to be encouraged by. Yeah, Lord, help us on.